filling in for Debbie, and we really appreciate her and all she's doing. Doing really well on that piano there, and it has been a blessing to us today. Thank you so much for that, Miss Ellen. All right, turn in your Bibles tonight, 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17, we're going to bend there in verse 8. Begin in verse 8 tonight, 1 Kings chapter 17, and we're going to begin there in verse 8. The title of my message tonight is A Widow's Faith, A Widow's Faith. You've heard of the widow's mites. Tonight we're going to talk about the widow's faith in 1 Kings chapter 17, and we'll begin there in verse 8 here in just a couple of moments. Now, just a little bit of background information in regards to this. Is, you know, we talk about faith, and we talked about a little bit this morning. We've kind of been talking about it a lot this week, is that faith is something that we must have, something that we must possess. The Bible says that it is without it, it is impossible to please Him. And so God is looking for His people to possess some faith, to have some faith in their life. Because when He calls us to do things, He calls us to go somewhere, serve Him, whatever it is, God needs His people to exercise some faith in their life. And so we're going to look tonight about this widow's faith, and you really put yourself in her position tonight. As we talk about her, we see what's going on in her life, we see the situation, then you put yourself in her predicament, and you think to yourself, man, what would I do if I was her? Because not everybody would do what she did. And so you think to yourself, what would I do if I was her? And then we think about the opportunity that God gave her. I tell you what a tremendous opportunity the Lord gave this widow to respond to this service that God had given her. And so let's take a look at it here tonight. As we take a look at the widow's faith, I believe it would be a blessing to you. And I want to pull some things out of the Word of God tonight that I think will help you in your Christian life. Because all of us at times, we go through different famines. Now here at this moment, where we see in 1 Kings chapter 17, there in verse 8, we see that the land is still in a great famine. And listen, there's a lot of people that in their life, maybe they're going through famines. You can experience a famine different kinds of ways. There can be a spiritual famine where you are just thirsty and just things just seem dry, you know, and your life can be like that sometimes, you know. Your life, it just seems like it's dry. It seems like it's, when things get so dry, they tend to do what? They break apart and they they just don't have no substance to it, you know, and it's not refreshing. And, you know, and that can be, that very same thing can happen in our spiritual lives. That very same thing can happen in the workplace and in our churches and all that kind of stuff. And so we can just go through famine periods in our life. We can go through famine periods spiritually. We can go through famine periods personally. We can go through famine periods in our marriages and famine periods in our churches and everything else. And so there are times when we go through famine periods in our life. And so what is it that we have to do when these times come up? What we're going to see how God really moved in this situation with Elijah and with this widow, and how He done a great work through both of them. And I tell you what a blessing it is. Let's take a look at it here tonight. 1 Kings chapter 17. If you could turn my mic down maybe just a little. 1 Kings chapter 17, and let's begin there in verse 8. Notice the very first thing the Bible says. The Bible says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying. Now that him there is Elijah. Now Elijah, he was already where? Elijah done spent about a year down by the brook, and the ravens were coming in, and they were dropping his food off. And I mean, how awesome is that? We spoke just a little bit about this morning, about the birds coming in and dropping your food off to you. I mean, that is tremendous. That is a supernatural thing. And sometimes God provides for us in supernatural ways. Things that you, God may just drop blessings to you that you never even expected, blessings you never saw coming. You ever had that happen before? You're just going through life and then God just drops by blessings you never even saw it coming. You wasn't even necessarily looking for it. But God just came by and He just dropped some stuff off to you. And man, it was just amazing. It was a blessing to your life. And that's what He was doing to Elijah down there by the brook. He was dropping those blessings off. But then He was also using the creek that was there. the brook that was there to refresh him and give him what he needed. But there was a famine in the land. There was, and it was because of the religious and the political system. Same thing kind of happens today, you know, because the religious and the political system gets corrupt, there becomes a famine in the land. And, you know, and that's kind of what we kind of see right now. You know, we got a corrupt religious system across the whole board in general. And then we have a corrupt political system. And that definitely causes there to be a lot of famines in the land and causes things to be broke and dry and all that kind of stuff. And so this is what they're going through. This is where the time is. Now, they have done been about a year into this famine that God has brought. And so we see now that the brook where Elijah was at is starting to dry up. So what did God do? When the brook started to dry up, he called him somewhere else. He told him to go somewhere else. And so that's where we get into verse 8. And the Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Now let me ask you this. Now you say, well, okay, so the brook down here is dried up. Now God can still bring the ravens, but the brook's dried up. So so now he's sending him away from here to go somewhere else where there's still some water. Well, why wouldn't God just send him down there to begin with? Because that's where we exercise another part of our faith. You know, God says, you come here, and whenever you need to leave from here, I'll move you to there. And when you need to move from there, I'll move you to here. It's all about how we follow him and putting our faith in him. It's all about us taking those steps, as we've talked about all week this week, in spiritual growth. He told him, he says in the beginning, Elijah, you go down there, I'll call the ravens to come feed you, and you just drink by the brook, and then when that dries up, I'll call you to go somewhere else. And so Elijah was going to have to learn in his early ministry that he needed to do what? He needed to trust God. And he was going to trust God by taking those steps of faith. And if God said, I need to go down there, God's got a plan, he's got a purpose, and God's going to take care of me. And so when things dry up right here, then God may call me somewhere else. And then when I go down there, God's got a plan and he's got a purpose and he will provide for me down there as well. And so it was steps of faith. And so that's what Elijah was having to learn how to do in his life too, was take those steps of faith. And so when God says, listen, you need to get up, we're drying up here, you need to get up, and I want you to go down there to Zarephath. And he says, and down there in Zarephath, there I want you to dwell there. And he says, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now watch this now. You put yourself in Elijah's position. Who is he asking to sustain him? Who is he? Who was God? Who did God say, Elijah? Who did God say, Elijah, this person is going to take care of you? Who was it? What was it? A widow woman. Now we know right off from the very bat, that right off from the very get-go, that one thing this, there's a famine. There's a famine in the land. Things are dry. People don't have a whole lot. And so he's going to go down there. There's a famine in the land. He's got a good distance to travel. I mean, he's got to come from here all the way over there. And so he's got to go all the way down there to Zarephath. And you know what Zarephath was? Zarephath was the hometown of Jezebel. Zarephath's the hometown of Jezebel. And so he says, okay, God, let me get this straight. You want me to leave? No, you got to get this now. God, let me get this straight. You want me to leave this place right here where the ravens have been dropping my food off, and you want me to leave this place? I mean, I've been here for a year, and man, things have been great, and you want me to leave this place, and you want me to travel all the way down there in this heat, in this barren land, in this dryness, and you want me to travel all the way down there in Zarephath? I mean, that is a wicked, ungodly, evil place. And you want me to go down there, and you want me to dwell there? You want me to go down there and live? I mean, I don't know about this, Lord. I mean, I know you know what you're doing and all, but this sounds a little crazy. And not only that, but you want me to go down there and dwell and live in this wicked land, and you want a widow woman to take care of me? I mean, she's probably got her own problems. She's probably got her own needs, and you want me to go down there and you want this widow woman to take care of me? Now, you put yourself in his position and you're sitting there thinking, doesn't really seem like the best of odds. Doesn't really seem like the ideal predicament that you would want to be in. You know, we go through life and, you know, you have your ideal predicaments. You know, you think, man, it'd be great if we had this and we had this and had that. Man, that's awesome. But you know what? It's not so ideal if I go down there and I don't have this and I don't have that and I got to face this and deal with that. And you look at it and you shake your head and you say, man, I don't know about that. Well, that's what Elijah was doing. He was examining this whole thing. And I'm sure he was probably thinking to himself, man, I guarantee I could probably come down here and surely God's got somebody down there that's got more than this widow to take care of me. But I tell you what, I'm glad that God will use anybody. Amen. It doesn't matter if it's somebody that has a whole lot or if it's somebody that's just got a little bit. God gives everybody an opportunity to serve Him. God gives everybody an opportunity. It doesn't matter where you're at. Doesn't matter who you are. God gives everybody an opportunity to serve Him, and that's what He did. Now, you see, that's part of the other act of faith. This is the part of where the faith comes in. I want you to go down there, and I want you to dwell in the city, and that city down there in Zarephath, that's where Jezebel's from. That place is full of idol worship. That place is full of demon worship. And I want you to go down there, and I want you to dwell down there, and I got a widow woman that's going to take care of you. And so that takes faith. That takes faith. And we're already a year into this famine. And he's probably scratching his head thinking to himself, man, this doesn't really sound that good. But you see, Elijah was going to miss out on some blessings if he didn't go. Even though it may not have looked like he wanted to, he was going to have to exercise that step of faith and take that step. Same thing is for you and me. We're often faced with less than ideal situations in our life, but we got to learn to take those steps of faith. Listen, things are not always going to be the way you want it to be. Amen? Amen. Things are not always going to be the way you want it to be. That's just the way life is, you know. And things are not always going to be always the ideal, what you want, what you're looking for. But I tell you what, if we'll learn to take these steps of faith, and then we'll see that at the very end we can get the blessings. But Elijah was going to have to take a step. But so he was going to have to take a step. But this other woman, this widow woman, she's going to have to take some steps of faith too. And so that's really what I want to focus on tonight is what she did, not just him, but what she did. But Elijah was going to have to go down there if he was going out. Now, what if God said, Elijah, I want you to go down there. You dwell in that place that is full of evil, that place that is full of wickedness. Now, you go down there and you dwell there. And I got this woman down there. She's going to take care of you. But what would happen if he'd have said, I don't know about that, God. That's a little too far for me to go. And not only that, it doesn't really sound like, you know, that's a very ideal situation for me. And so I don't think I'm going to go. Well, what would have happened to him? Well, he probably would have dried up and starved to death where he was. Amen? That's exactly right. He probably would have stayed right there where he was, and the creek bed would have dried up. He wouldn't have nothing to sustain him. The ravens would have stopped coming by and dropping his food off for him, and so he'd have dried up, and he'd be dead bones right there beside that creek bed. That's what happened to him. But because he exercised faith, and said, all right, Lord, you know, even though this isn't exactly ideal, I will go down there because this is what you've called and asked me to do. And so he did. And so he went down there. And the Bible says that, shows us there in verse 10. So the very first thing we see in verse 8 is we see the famine. Then there in verse 9, the Bible says that he said, arise, get to Zarephath. Zarephath means melting pot. That's what Zarephath means, melting pot. And he goes down there to Zidon, and he says, dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman, watch this, there to sustain thee. The one that's going to keep you alive, the one that's going to sustain you is there, not here. It is there. Now, if you stay here, you're not going to be sustained. But if you go there, then you will. And so he was going to have to go there. That means the Bible says there in verse 9, he was going to have to arise. He was going to have to get up. He was going to have to exercise faith. He was going to have to put his steps into action. He was going to have to take steps of faith, walking by faith, not by sight. And when he got down there and see what God was going to do. Now, get to verse 10. Take a look at it. The Bible says, and he arose and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water and a vessel that I may drink. Now, let's think about this. There in verse 10. Now, we often think this is an old widow woman. Just because she's a widow doesn't mean she's old. Does that make sense? The Bible says she had a son. She had a son. Obviously, he was young. So that just because she was a widow doesn't mean she is old. I think she was a relatively young woman. Her husband had just died. And so the Bible says that she was a widow woman. And so now here he is. Here he is. He's going down to this Gentile place. This Gentile place that is full of evil, full of wickedness. But in that place was a woman that was willing to listen to God. Isn't that great that God's got somebody everywhere? God's got somebody everywhere. Even in the midst of all that wickedness and evilness, God has a remnant. And there was a woman down there that was willing to listen to what God would have her do. Now watch this. There in verse 10. He gets there to the gate of the city. And the Bible says he saw her. Interesting how he even knew who she was, even though he didn't even never met her before. Isn't that interesting? The Bible says he got there in the gate, verse 10, he arose, he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there. Well, how did he know that that was her? And the Bible says she was gathering of the sticks, and he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And so how did he know that woman right there was the woman that was supposed to be taking care of him? I mean, he goes down there and he sees that woman. She's down there and he calls out to her. Notice what he says. He says there to her in verse 10. The Bible says that he says to her, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." Now, does he understand what he's asking? I mean, we're in a famine. It hasn't even rained in over a year. And he's saying, "Lady, excuse me, can you bring me some water? I'd really like to have something to drink. Can you bring me some water?" I mean, you imagine this long journey he's done with. Now he's down there, and he sees this widow woman down there, and she's down there, she's getting there picking up sticks off the ground. And he calls to her, and he says, "Hey, excuse me, can you bring me some water?" And she don't even know who he is. And he says, "Can you bring me some water?" And water was something that was very, very scarce. And so it was going to take this woman some faith to bring him some water. It was going to take her having faith that she was going to use her water to give to him. And so she had to exercise some faith that, listen, we don't have a whole lot, but you know what? I'll give it to him. And so she was exercising faith. And the Bible says there in verse 10 that he called to her and he said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And there in verse 11, "And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, 'Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread.'" So what? Now get this. This woman, she's going to, he just arrived into town. Now this is crazy. He just arrives into town and he sees her and he says, "Hey, excuse me, lady, can you bring me some water?" And so as she's going to go get some water, he says, "Oh, by the way, I need something to eat too." Now what would most of us probably do? We'd probably turn around and say, "Who do you think you are? You just walked into town and you telling me to go bring you something to eat, something to drink. Who in the world are you?" You know, I was just being nice the first time, but now you're kind of getting on my nerve a little bit. And so she goes down there, she's bringing him, she's getting him some water, and while she's walking that way, he says, "Oh, I could use some bread too." And notice what he says there in verse 10, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And then, "And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, 'Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand.'" Now he knew, first and foremost, that of course, we don't have a lot of food. There's a famine in the land. We don't have a lot of water because there is a famine. So there's two things we're missing a lot of. We don't have a lot of water. We don't have a lot of bread. And so I'll tell you what, she had to exercise some faith just to even think about bringing him what it is that he was requesting. But notice he said, "Just bring me a morsel of bread." Now how much is a morsel? Well, a morsel, I mean, that's just like a little bitty piece of bread. He says, "Just bring me a morsel of bread." But I want you to notice what she says there. There in verse 12, here we see the facts of the famine. There in verse 12, the Bible says, "And she said, 'As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it," in other words, cook it, "for me and my son, that we may eat it." So you can see this situation, how dire it is. And she says, "Listen, you're telling me to bring you something to eat. You're telling me to bring you something to drink. Well, she says, I don't even have a morsel of bread. Oh, what you're wanting, a little morsel of bread. I'm talking something small. You're wanting a little morsel of bread. But listen, let me tell you, I don't even have that. I don't even have a morsel of bread. She says, let me tell you what I'm fixing to do. She says, just as God lives, as the truth as God lives, she said, this is what I'm fixing to do. She said, I'm coming down here. She said, I'm going to come there. She said, I'm going to get two sticks, and I'm going to take those two sticks, and I'm going to make this little hand, make a little cake out of the handful of meal I got, because this is all we have. And she says, and then me and my son are going to eat this little bitty cake, and then we're going to probably die. And so you can see how bad the situation is. I mean, this isn't a situation where you can just go in and you can just take whatever you want, and there's stuff all over the place, and order what you want, buy what you want. I mean, he says, I just want a morsel of bread. And she says, hey, I don't even have it. And I imagine, you know, at that time, if we was Elijah, we'd probably be like, God, how in the world is she going to take care of me? She don't even have a morsel of bread. How in the world is she going to sustain me? God, how are you going to use her? How are you going to use this situation to take care of me when it doesn't even seem like she's even got anything? And I mean, God, look where we're at. I mean, we're in the devil's capital. I mean, here we are. We're in the devil's capital. Man, there's the devil's all around us. There's nobody here that wants to serve you and live for you. And now here we are, and you want me to dwell here? God, how's this possible? And he says there in verse 11, so we see the fact. I mean, verse 12, we see the facts of the situation and how bad it is. And I tell you what, we can suffer bad sometimes financially in our life, and we begin to wonder, God, how in the world is this going to go anywhere? How in the world is this going to do anything? And you know, God, this is all I got. This is all I got in the bank. We're running down to the, you know, we're eating rice and beans now, and we ain't got too much left. And God, how in the world are we gonna live off of this? Hey, you can't live off love but for so long. Amen. That's exactly right. And so it's like, Lord, how in the world are we gonna live? I mean, we get times in like that in our life. And so there are financial famines that we have, but there's also emotional famines that we have in our life. You know, sometimes we just get emotionally stressed, emotionally burdened, you know, in our life, and we think, man, how in the world am I ever going to get out of this? We think about sometimes folks, they get in depression and things like this, and we think, how in the world God, how am I going to get out of this? And Lord, what do I need to do to get up out of this? Oh, and God, I need your help. And we don't know what we're going to do. And then we have those spiritual famines, and we have those physical famines when we're hurting and we're aching and we got different problems and different things going on, and we begin to wonder, man, how in the world are we going to get past this, and how are we going to get over this, and how are we going to afford this, and how are we going to live through this, and what are we going to do? And that's where this woman right here was several steps beyond that. She says, listen, all we got, we don't even have a morsel of bread. This right here is all we got, and we're going to eat this because this is all there is left. I can't go to the store and get you nothing. I can't go buy you anything. There's nothing. We don't have nothing down at the Citgo. It's all gone. The Walmart's closed. They done went out of business because everything in there is no good anymore. And so we don't have nowhere to go. We have nothing to do. I can't give you anything. We're going to eat this little bit that I got left, and then we're just going to die. And so now you can see the facts of the situation. You can see how bad it is. There's been a lot of people in her situation. You think of the disciples when they were out there in that boat, and they were out there, and God put them out there, and they were out there sailing in that ship, and they thought they was going to die. And then you think about Elijah, another time in his life, even a little bit after this. See, God, he was in training right here. God was training him. But you find Elijah at another point in his life, he runs from Jezebel and he's hiding in that cave down there. Yeah, and God comes by and he says, Elijah, what are you doing here? Man, what are you doing here? I didn't call you to be a prophet of mine to live in this cave and dwell in here, man. I called you to preach for me and to live for me and to lead my people. But we all have those moments. Just like Jonah did when he was in the belly of the whale, and when he was sitting out there on the sand waiting to see what God was going to do to the city, and he said, I just may as well just die right here. I mean, we all have these moments where we get in our life where things just seem that it is at its worst point. How can it possibly get any worse than this? And it comes in all different kinds of ways, and that's where she was. That's where she was. And the last thing she probably needed was this stranger coming into town telling me what to do. Last thing she probably needed was this guy that she don't even know coming in here telling me to bring him something to eat and give him something to drink when we're about ready to die ourselves. What's he talking about? He must be crazy. Bring him something to eat, bring him something to drink. We're about to die right here. And the Bible says there in verse 12, she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." And so we can see her fear. We can see her fear in the midst of these facts that show us what this famine was all about. I want you to notice something in verse 12. We see the two sticks. See, it's interesting that we've already went into this famine for a year. Do these two sticks mean anything? Well, 2 years after this is when the famine is over. So it seems to me like these two sticks that she's gathering up could show us and represent not only just how dry the situation is, but it shows us how there's just nothing around. I mean, everybody's done gathered up all there is. I mean, surely me and you both can probably come out here and gather up a couple of sticks. Does that make sense? But I'm talking, but you got to understand, this situation was so bad. I mean, everybody done gathered up and scavenged up everything that they could to eat anything they could, to find anything they could. All she could find was two sticks. In the whole place, two sticks. And that two sticks, I believe, shows us how much longer that famine was going to be, because there was still a couple more years of famine. But I want you to notice a couple of things that whether we see there. We see the water. What did he ask? He asked for some water. He said, "Bring me some water." What is that water? God said, "I'll sustain you with this woman." That water would be good representation of the Word of God, how the Word of God cleanses us and washes us and feeds us and nourishes us and gives us what we need, the vitality that we need in our life. Oil is a good symbol of what? The Holy Spirit of God. He says, listen, you go to, he asked for some water. He asked for the Word of God. And she turned around and said, "Let me tell you what I've got. You want the Word of God? You want the water? Listen, let me tell you what I've got." She says, "I got the Holy Spirit of God over here. Not only do I have the Holy Spirit of God that's going to take care of you, but I've also got," notice what she says. She says, "I got some meal." Now, what is meal? Meal is unleavened bread. Now, what was unleavened bread symbol of? The body of Christ, the body of the Lord. And so we see and understand what are some things that's going to sustain us in our life when we're going through famines. It's going to be the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the Son of God. Does that make sense? It's exactly right. And whenever we're going through famines in our life, we can definitely count on those three things to help sustain us and give us what we need. When we're going through famines, the Spirit of God and the Word of God and the Son of God Himself, we can definitely count on those three things to take care of us, and no matter what kind of famine we're going through. Now let's keep reading. The Bible says there in verse 13, and so the Bible says, "And Elijah said unto her, fear not, but go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son." Now put yourself in her position. Now hold on a minute. Now did you just not hear me say that I don't have anything to eat? All I got is this little bit of meal and this little bit of oil and this little bit of water that I can make together just to make a little bitty cake, but it's only big enough for me and my son. We're going to eat it and we're probably going to die because that's all there is that's left. And you want me to give this to you? Have you lost your mind? Now, you imagine somebody walking up to you, and that's all that you have. And somebody walks up to you and says, God said, now you put yourself in her position. God said, for you to give this to me first and let me eat it. And then after I eat it, then you go and make some for yourself. Well, see, first he was asking her to do something impossible. He was asking her to take a lot of steps of faith. For one, the step of faith that she was going to give it to him, because if she gave it to him, what would they eat? They wouldn't have anything. But not only that, all she had was this right here, and it was just enough for her. But he said, listen, you make me something, and then you make yourself something. Well, how am I going to do that? Because there's not enough for me to make. Does that make sense? How am I going to make you something and send something for us? We don't have enough. And so there's two steps of faith. She's going to have to take a step of faith in this, that if God wants me to do this for Him, if God wants me to sacrifice this for Him and His service for God, if God wants me to do this for Him, then God's going to provide a way for me. God's going to provide a way for me. What a bold step of faith that was going to take. Because we see that she's trying to provide for herself and her son. And most people would be like, man, you're crazy. I'm not giving this to you. I mean, we're starving half to death here. We're about to die. And all I got's enough for me and my own kid. That's all I got. You think I'm going to give this to you? You're crazy. You've lost your mind. I'm not going to give you what we got right here. And he says, I tell you what. He says, you give me what you got. And then after that, you make something for yourself. Talk about a step of faith. Now, you put yourself in her position, how many of us would have done that? But she did. The Bible says, there in verse 14, we see her step of faith. And the Bible says, notice what he told her. He says, for thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. Well, we still got a couple more years or so before that's going to happen. And you trying to tell me that this little cruise of oil right here is going to last for 2 years? It don't last a month. And you going to tell me this little thing right here is going to last for 2 years? You trying to tell me that barrel of meal right there is going to last us over 2 years? Imagine the faith that she had to have to believe that. She had to believe what God said. But she took that step of faith. Let me ask you this. In your famine times in your life, what is God asking you to take a step? What step of faith is God asking you to take? Because it could be that God's saying, listen, you need to do this, you need to do that. And you're looking back and you're saying, yeah, but God, do you see what I have? And God's saying, yeah, I see what you have. But listen, I can take what you got and I can do anything I want to with it. Man, I can take it and bless it and I can do all kinds of stuff. You remember whenever Jesus fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish? I mean, it's not so much as what we got, it's what we're willing to give to Him to use. Does that make sense? See, God can take whatever you got and use it and bless it and turn it into all, I mean, just overwhelmingly bless it. I mean, the Bible says that Jesus, He stood there on the side of the mountain, He had 5 loaves, 2 fish, and He fed thousands of people, and then they took up 12 baskets full. So it's not so much as the number, but you see, we're very number-oriented. We'll say, yeah, but God, I ain't got but one of these. Yeah, but God, I ain't got but two. Yeah, but God, I've only got a little one. God's saying, yeah, I already know what you got. You ain't got to tell me what you got. I already know what you got. You don't have to tell me what you have. I already know what you have. I'm just telling you to surrender what you have to me so that I can use it so it'll be a blessing to you and to everybody else. But what are you going to, but we have to take that step of faith. Take that step of faith. But we're very number-oriented people, and we deal in factors and figures and numbers, and we say, oh, God, this isn't going to work, and this isn't going to work. But you see, we serve a God that makes things work. Amen. We serve a God that does the impossible. We serve a God that makes things work. And so the Bible says that He told her there in verse 14 what the future would be. He says, God said, if you did this, and that barrel of oil right there, it'll never empty itself. Not until the rain comes. And that cruise right there, that cruise of oil there, you won't run out until the rain starts. So He was showing her a future. Now she had to make a decision. Am I going to feed Him before I feed myself and my kids? Am I going to believe what God said? Am I going to take that step of faith? What am I going to do? And where are you at in your personal life? What is it that God is speaking to your heart about tonight? You say, yeah, but God, I'm looking, I'm factoring, I'm figuring, and numbering, and this is what I'm doing all this, and Lord, this don't make no sense. That, you know, I'm trying to add all this up, and it's just not making no sense. But God, you know, if you desire for me to give this to you, then I will. Then I will. And she did. The Bible says there in verse 15, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. Did eat many days. See, we have a God in heaven that says, And Malachi, you just prove me. You just test me. And you just do what I've told you to do. And let's just see. You just watch and see how I open up the windows of heaven and I pour out those blessings upon you. You just watch and see. You just do what I asked you to do. You just be that servant that I've asked you to be. And you just be obedient to what I'm telling you to do. And you just watch and see if I open up the windows of heaven. But what if she'd have never fed Elijah? Then she would have died where she was. What if Elijah would have never went? He'd have died where he was. There's a lot of people out here dying today because they're not doing what God's called them to do. They're not going where God's called them to go. They're not serving how God's called them to serve. And they're out here today and they're starving to death and they're dying spiritually, emotionally, and financially, all kinds of ways. The Bible says that she went there in verse 15. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah. Now, she didn't have much to offer. All she had was a little small handful of meal. That's all she had, a little small handful of meal. Some powder that she could mix with some water and try to and take those two sticks and use it to fire it up to make a cake out of. That's all she had was a little small handful of. But God was going to take that little small handful right there, and he was going to do wonders with it. And listen, God, you know what God's looking for tonight? He's looking for your handful. You say, God, this is all I got. And God says, that's fine, I'll use it. What did he tell the widow that had two mites? All those guys was up there throwing all that money in. They had all them Pharisees. I mean, they was walking up there. See, back then they had we got kind of somewhat like that here tonight. But back then they had these big old golden things and made a lot of money. It made a lot of noise when people put all that money in there. See, they had coin money. And what they'd do is, what them Pharisees would do, because they wanted everybody to hear all the money they put in. So they'd step back a little bit and they'd go, throw that money in there so everybody could hear all the money they put in. The Bible says the widow, she came up and she put in her two mites. And the Lord Jesus, he was standing there and he looked and he said, you know what? She put in more than everybody else did. Because she put in out of her need. They put in out of their abundance. And you see, there's a difference between putting in out of your need and putting in out of your abundance. Does that make sense? Because who was really sacrificing? She was. And God was going to bless much more so the sacrifice. The sacrifice. She had two mites. Two mites. You know what two mites equals up? Two mites equals up like, two mites is like one, like you take a penny and you divide it. You take a penny and two mites would be like you have a penny and you was to break that penny down, you could take two mites. It would take 10 mites. It would take 10 mites to equal one penny. And that's what she put in. Now, that just shows you how much she had. She didn't have nothing, according to man. But whenever she put that in there, and the Lord Jesus saw it, he looked at her and he said, you know what? You've put more in than everybody else because you was willing to sacrifice what you had. You know, I don't know what happened to that widow woman after that situation there. You don't ever hear nothing about her. But I sure would. I can't wait till one of these days when I get to heaven to meet that widow woman up in heaven to put in those two mites. Because I bet when she put in those two mites, when she got saved and put in those two mites, I bet God said in heaven, let's make an addition to her mansion. Let's make an addition to her mansion she's got up here. I mean, do you see what she did? Yeah, see, it's not so much as what you have as is what you're just willing to let God use. God already knows what you have. You don't have to complain to him about what you have. We don't have to say, oh, Lord, this is all I got. How in the world am I supposed to? And God says, I know what you got. Like I said this morning, God used Moses' stick. God can use a stick. He can use anything. You know, God used bees. God used ants. God used bears. God used wolves. God used worms. God used birds. God used whales, fish. God can use anything he wants to use. He can use the wind. He used the sun. He used the rain. He's used everything. You just got to be willing to give God what you have. And God will take that, what you have, even if it's just a handful, and he'll do something amazing with it. But you got to be willing to say, all right, God, I'm willing to make that sacrifice. Just like she did, just like both these widow women did. Be willing to make that sacrifice. God will bless it, I promise you. The Bible says there in verse 16, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the crucible fail according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. So God was true to his word. God was true to his word. He says, now Elijah, you tell that woman that if she does what I'm asking her to do, that I will bless her and I'll bless her family. All of you will be taken care of for the next 2 years. Off that little bitty cruise oil and off that barrel of meal for 2 years. I imagine, can you imagine? I bet every day they went in there and she made something, you know, and she dipped her little thing, poured something out, you know, and set it back. She probably made some. Now, you guarantee if you was just like me, you'd do this too. God said, this thing's going to last 2 years. How many of you would like going to your refrigerator and pulling out a glass of milk and putting it back in it like you never even poured nothing out of it? Yeah, how many of y'all would like to go to the refrigerator and grab that bottle of Pepsi and pour it out and put it back and it lasts for 2 years, the same bottle lasts 2 years? Man, I love that. You go to your refrigerator and you get that milk out and you pour you some cereal and you look at it. And you put it back in the refrigerator and you shut the door. And that little guy that lives in the refrigerator, he cuts the light off and you open it up. And it's full again. Imagine how many times he probably went. You know you'd do it because I'd do it too. Because I'd be curious. I'd be wanting to see when this thing gets full. Does it get full when I'm away from it a little while? Does it come back? Or what do I got to do? Man, it'd drive me crazy. And you know she did it. She had to have. I'd do it too. You know you would do it. And she poured that thing out. She probably set that thing off the side. And she was amazed. I bet they were all amazed at what God was doing. Listen, do you want to live your Christian life and be amazed at what God's doing? Live your Christian life and see God moving, see God working, see God doing some awesome things. You want to live your Christian life and things be vibrant and things be alive? You say, how's that going to happen in the midst of a famine? You got to take some steps of faith because it's possible. God can make your Christian life absolutely beautiful, flourishing in the midst of a famine, solely based because you just trust in Him and have faith in Him. And because you do that, God blesses and God moves and you see God do great things. Listen, the reason why people don't see God do great things in their life is because they're not willing to take those steps of faith. They're not willing to let God do it. See, it's good to say, oh, I want to see God do some great things. Okay, give me the last food you got. We're in a famine. You give me everything you got right now. No, I don't think I'm going to do that. Okay, well, if you're not willing to make the sacrifice, if you're not willing to trust God, then you're not going to see God do those great things. Because God is willing to do it. He's willing to manifest Himself. He's willing to do great things. But we got to be willing to surrender. We got to be willing to sacrifice. And we got to be willing to give Him ourselves and say, you know what, God, everything I got belongs to you anyway. Amen. The clothes on my back, the car that I drove in, the shoes on my feet, it all belongs to you anyway. It's just on loan. He can take it away anytime He wants to. And so we just say, you know what, God, it all belongs to you anyway. And when you begin to look at things from that perspective, you say, well, God, it belongs to you anyway. If you said you wanted it, here it is. And whenever we learn to have that kind of attitude about things, then you start to see God doing some tremendous things in your life. And so, very possible to have a very productive spiritual growth life in the midst of a famine, in the midst of a place full of idol worship, in the midst of a place that is full of demons and the devil and all that stuff. For those years that they lived there, God blessed them and their home because they just had faith and trusted God. That's exactly right. Man, what great faith she had. God help us all to have more faith like her. Let's pray. Father, we come to you again this evening.